Our first reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And now from Proverbs. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Lastly, from the Gospel of Matthew, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You
may be seated. Well, today we are wrapping up this four-part series that we've named Unburden and focus on. And the reminder is, and the encouragement is to unburden ourselves, because we have a tendency to do just that, to burden ourselves with we worry, financial stress, comparisons, all kinds of things. And it can be a heavy burden, and we may not even realize that we're carrying it. And so we've talked about kind of these little principles, and the first one, if you were with us, it was the principle that less is more, right? Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And you, one of the things I encouraged you to do was maybe to cut back or to let go. You know, it's kind of hard to care for somebody else or to give or to serve when you're holding on so tightly because of all the stuff you got. And so maybe we need to learn to let go. Less is more, right? And so you were encouraged maybe to, maybe as a one step is to, you know, maybe get rid of some stuff. And so we did so in our house. And I had someone else that was telling me this week that they were going through some of their stuff, and hey, they discovered they had 5 pairs of shoes they didn't even know they had. And they said, I think one of them even dated back to the time of Moses, they were that old. But less is more. We talked about how stress is bad. When we're holding on so tightly to our stuff, it can become very stressful. When we do that, the borrower is servant to the lender, and we get ourselves in these situations and get ourselves in debt, all kinds of, and it just creates more and more stress upon ourselves. And so the encouragement was maybe to practice a little more self-control, right? And maybe just start with baby steps. Maybe, you know, cut back on eating out, or maybe that coffee, or the subscription that you don't need, whatever. But begin to exercise some self-control. Better maybe than what we've done so in the past. So we talked about those. We talked about giving is good. The passage from Acts, remembering the words of Jesus, is, you know, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's not that receiving is not a good thing. It's not a blessing. Yes, it is, Jesus is saying. But it's also even more blessed when we are giving and making a difference in whatever way, shape, or form that might find itself. So today we're going to wrap it up with this last little principle, and that is tomorrow matters. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Tomorrow matters. Now we say it, we understand it, we know it, we believe it. Question is, do we live into it though? And I say that because we live in this age of instant gratification. We want it now, right? Whatever it might be, we like to have it now. Like, for example, if I send a text message to a friend of mine or to somebody in my family, the expectation that I have is that they will respond very quickly, like now. And when they don't, I get frustrated. And I'm wondering, so what are they doing? Are they ignoring me? Are they ghosting? What's going on? Because I fully expect, you know, an immediate response. It's kind of like nowadays, you know, you watch your favorite TV show. You don't even have to watch it live anymore. You watch the episode, and I'm ready to watch the next episode right after that. I want it now, so I'm just ready for it to just roll right into the next one. When I'm ordering for Amazon, you know, we've gotten so used to, you know, the two-day delivery. Now we want it. I'm looking at it. Hey, can I get it later today? Can I get it overnight? Can I get it tomorrow morning? Because whatever it is I'm ordering, I want it now. Everything, we want it now. And I was thinking about, wouldn't it be really cool if, you know, there was a coffee maker that brewed it and delivered it right to your hand instantly, right? And I don't mean that's your spouse and going and doing it for you, but, you know, an actual thing. Or it would be cool that there was a magical portal and that your dirty laundry would go straight into the washing machine, right? And then straight into the dryer. And Young said, well, you can do that and you take it to the dry cleaners. I understand that, but, man, it would be cool if there were, a workout that would just grant you instant muscles. Or a time machine. This is what we need in Charlotte, for sure. A time machine that would let you bypass all the traffic, right? So you could just get wherever you needed to go, like right now. We like this instant gratification. We don't think that much about tomorrow, do we? The only time I think we think about tomorrow is when we're trying to put things off until tomorrow, right? Then we think about tomorrow, but most of the time we're not thinking about tomorrow. We're not planning for tomorrow. We're in the now. We like everything here and now. And that's why I shared a couple of weeks ago, 57% it said, you know, studies and surveys point to about 57% of us in America, we live paycheck to paycheck. Why? Because we're not thinking about tomorrow, are we? We want whatever it is, we want it now. That's why we carry so much debt, a lot of us, because we want it now. Now, that may not be a lot of us here. And I have to recognize there are some folks that they're doing just good. Doing good just to make it from month to month, to have enough to pay their bills. Because maybe they're a single parent and they're raising kids, or they got a great degree, but they can't find a job in their in their field, so they're working maybe a different kind of job that doesn't pay as much, whatever. So recognizing that, but I think for many of us, we don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, but maybe we do because maybe we're not thinking about tomorrow. We've forgotten that tomorrow matters. But see, when we remember that tomorrow matters, it changes the way that we live today. Proverbs, that you heard a moment ago, it says, the wise have wealth and luxury, and then what do the fools have? What does it say? They spend whatever they get, so they don't have anything, because they spend whatever they get. Now, the Hebrew there means basically living paycheck to paycheck, right? Because they're spending everything that they get. Proverbs 6:8, we heard, and we think many of the Proverbs we attribute to King Solomon as the author of those. And so I like this one a little bit, because he's kind of, Solomon's sort of being a little bit of a smart aleck, at least when I read it, this is what I hear. But what is he saying? He says, go to the ant, and then he calls us what? Sluggards. Yeah. Consider its ways and be wise, talking about the ant. Because it has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. And even though it has no one telling it what to do, it still knows to do what? All right? Store its provisions for the summer, right? And it still remembers that tomorrow matters. Anybody see the Disney movie, It's a Bug's Life? Ever seen that? It's based off this parable, isn't it? I mean, it's a proverb, isn't it? You think about it. Well, it's actually not. They actually based it off a Greek, one of Aesop's fables. But there's a lot of parallels between, if you've ever seen that movie, and this proverb, though. This proverb. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your decisions are, there your future will be. That's another way to say it. Because our choices, they create ripples for tomorrow, don't they? What we invest in today impacts tomorrow. So if we're, you know, if we're investing in or we're consumed by fear, what is it producing? Well, it's producing anxiety in the future. If we're investing, you know, if we're investing in greed, well, what are we getting in the future? Well, pretty much emptiness, because it's not fulfilling. And when we're investing in God's kingdom and people and grace and love, what are we doing? We're creating a harvest that will endure. One of the churches I've served some years ago, they started a scholarship fund for high school students if they were going off to college or if they're pursuing a trade or something like that. And they said, we started it with $300. That's how much they started with. And it's like, you know, it didn't seem like a lot. But every year we contributed. We all, you know, we continued to contribute to it a little bit as we went. And so that fund began. Continue to grow. And so now they have supported hundreds of students. All right. Some of those students have become teachers and I think nurses and doctors, all kinds of professors. Some even became pastors. And one member said, you know what, we started with lunch money. Kind of what we did. We started with lunch money and we ended up feeding minds for generations. Because tomorrow matters. They understood that. And every prayer, every dollar, every, you know, acts of kindness, it all has an impact. Because God has this habit of taking that and multiplying it many times over. And we may not even see it on this end, but it matters. You've heard the saying that he or she who dies with the most toys, what do? No, they don't. They die, right? They just simply die. You don't win anything. Right. And so that's it's just a great reminder. God calls us. He reminds us that, you know, everything is in the earth. Everything of the earth is the Lord's, right? And everything in it. And so we are stewards of that. We're not called to hoard it. We're called to be stewards of it, of our time, our talents, our resources. God blesses us so that we might be a blessing unto others, because tomorrow matters. John Wesley is the founder of Methodism, and he used to say, or it's attributed to him, that he said, earn all you can, you know, save all you can, and give all you can. And he also said when he had money, he always got rid of it quickly, lest it finds its way into my heart, he said. Because where your treasure is, there your heart. Where your heart is, there your treasure is. All that's good stuff. And so he lived simply, and he gave generously because of that. Because he understood, hey, I'm a steward of this. This is not mine. And tomorrow matters. So it wasn't about for him holding on tightly with two hands or what he had, with what he had, but letting go and letting God do something with that. There's an old Greek proverb that says, society grows great when old folks plant trees whose shade they shall never sit in. A society grows great when old folks... And folks know and plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in. Right? So it's about doing things today that have an impact for tomorrow. You know, I think of Abraham. God told Abraham, hey, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. All right, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. And yet Abraham only has, you know, he only sees a fraction of that, doesn't it? And yet, because of his obedience and his faithfulness, that promise became true. I think Moses led Israel for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness, right? He brings them to the brink of the promised land. He doesn't get to go into the promised land. And yet, because of his obedience and his leadership, he paved the way for everyone else who came behind him. Yeah, I think about the saints who started this church back in 1968, you know, our charter members who gave of themselves, whose names we may, you know, they may be forgotten over time, but yet their fingerprints are all over this place. if you look. And so we remember, we give thanks. We give thanks for the seeds that have been planted and the shade of the trees that we now experience that they never saw, maybe. And we're called to do the same. To plant those seeds so that it may be a fruit. Maybe fruit that we don't see, but generations after us will. And so God entrusts us with our gifts, our talents, you know, our resources, so that we can make that difference. And so when we teach and when we're serving or giving or mentoring, now what are we doing? We're shaping that future, aren't we? We're recognizing that tomorrow matters. And generations that come after us will be here. Why? Because of what we do today. Or they won't be here because of what we don't do today. But think about it. If you take a moment, someone helped, or probably a whole bunch of people helped shape. You know, someone yesterday shaped your today. See what I'm saying? There were those who shaped you, right? Those yesterday who shaped you, who you are today. And we're called to simply do the same. To shape someone else's tomorrow. And we might not even realize we're doing it. Much like Gail Noble. Take a look.
Gail Noble was not famous, but she was unforgettable.
Thank you so much there. Oh my God, Gail, give some love.
Because her kindness was.
Gail was just a special, very special person.
Gail died in June, and on what would have been her 79th birthday, her daughter, Nissa Noble, threw a party instead of a funeral.
Happy birthday!
Didn't come for her inventions. And look, there were some impressive ones. They came because Gail was best known for her random acts of, as Nissa calls it, aggressive kindness.
You will get things. She will not take no for an answer. She's going to give you more than you asked for. And it's gonna be her way. This is what I mean by the aggressive kindness. Like, she just can't help it. She just wants to give.
Back in 2024, I spent the day with Gail in Oceanside, California.
What I get out of it is the joy of knowing that I've added some spark into each one of them.
I love that, Gail.
That's the best part.
Yeah. Isn't that the best feeling?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
For the last 7 years of her life, nearly every single week, Gail would make the rounds at Trader Joe's and the post office and UPS like clockwork.
Thank you, Gail. She always greets us, says hi. She'll tell us, you guys have to have such a hard job. I know what you're going through. I've done it before. And here's some muffins to get you through the day.
And the people she surprised for years surprised everyone by showing up to say goodbye.
I know Gail from Trader Joe's. She would come in shopping, sprinkle her goodies around.
I'll say she almost got us in trouble when she first started doing this, yeah. Because we're not supposed to accept gratuities or cookies. And she would sometimes literally throw them in our direction and say, all right, we'll see you tomorrow. And she did that every day.
Nissa is the one who built her mom a home online. It was a community she called Planet Gail.
My mom, Gail, was too much. Too fierce, too smart, too weird, too honest, too full of heart. So I built her a place here on the internet where being too much is the whole point.
That social media account drew hundreds of thousands of followers. People who said Gail made them feel less alone and more themselves.
I even put on one of the posts, it's on my bucket list to meet you in person one day.
So it just almost
breaks
did.
My heart that I didn't get to meet her in person. So she was an inspiration. She really was. Yeah.
You said to me, perhaps one of the biggest takeaways from this story is what you got out of it.
Through learning how to love her, through learning who she is and just accepting her for who she is, so many people have been able to do the same. Not only do I feel a huge sense of peace and growth, but there are hundreds of thousands of people across the world that are feeling that too.
She taught me how to be patient, how to love, and always giving.
One of Gail's last outings was to the hospital. And even there, despite the pain she was in, she just couldn't help herself.
What is this?
Oh. A treat.
Oh, thank you. How are you feeling today?
Yucky.
You felt good enough to give people cookies today?
Yep. I like to do that. They deserve a treat. Most people don't understand it. These poor folks go through.
The relationship wasn't always easy, but caregiving and Gail's Alzheimer's diagnosis brought them closer.
I feel that she got really lucky with the way that the disease manifested for her, because she became much more childlike as she disappeared more. In some ways, I felt like I got to see her soul more. I got to see her heart. Okay, Mom, I love you.
I love you.
Very much.
Very, very much.
And that, my friends, is the lesson we can all take from Gail Noble. To love people who are hard to love. To live with kindness. And to, at the end of the day, just be ourselves.
I love it. Even as she's nearing the end of her life, what's she doing? She's still giving, isn't she? She was planting those seeds, though, wasn't she? I don't know if she realized it. But as one person said, you know, she taught me patience, how to love, to always be giving. What you didn't see is how accomplished Gail was. And she was a computer engineer and wrote code for the government and all of these big projects and things. She had over 50 patents. So she was a brilliant, brilliant person, and yet she's not remembered for those kind of things, is she? Not so much. I think she's more remembered for the way that she gave of herself and the inspiration that she became to so, so many people. You can go online and still find Planet Gail there. And so her inspiration, you know, she's continuing to inspire folks. Those seeds are continuing to be planted, inspiring others to be more generous, to be to still making people smile. She's helping folks just embrace who they are and their own uniqueness. And she's understood to a degree how tomorrow matters. The giving is good, less is more, stress is bad, right? Rather than holding on tight to with two hands, we let go so that we have a hand to give and to care and to help. You know, we practice self-control so the worry doesn't rob us of the joy. We give because we find that we, as Jesus said, it really does bring us more blessing than even receiving. And that tomorrow matters. Everything we do today plants seeds and shapes what God will do tomorrow. And so my hope is that we'll be the church that continues to plant trees. Right? Even if we never sit in their shade, we continue to do that. That we love and we serve and we give because we understand tomorrow matters. So my hope is that we will unburden ourselves. Because better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Let us pray. Lord, I give you thanks for calling us, reminding us to live for more than just this day. So help us to continue as those who have gone before us to plant seeds of faith, of generosity, of hope, that will bless others long after we are gone. Help us to live simply and to trust deeply and to give freely. Help us to serve joyfully, Lord. May how we live our lives today
make an impact for tomorrow. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.